Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Can't believe Christmas is coming up in 2 weeks. Amazing. I want to encourage you right now to make plans to be a blessing, to share the gospel with a lot of different people during this season. If the world's going to have a day to celebrate the birth of Christ, even though I know they've tainted it with Santa and all the other things, but they all know it's Jesus Christ's birthday. We need to take advantage of that and have plates of cookies with gospel tracts on them to give out and just have conversations about, do you know why Jesus was born? And encourage people to think about the reason for the season. But we need to, as Christians, really take advantage of this focus during this time of year. Some of you thought last week's episode was a little depressing, and I'm sorry about that. I've never intentionally tried to depress you, but we need to speak about reality, and you can't run from that or hide from that. To ignore something is not a good thing to do. I think 2024 could be the most significant year that any of us have ever lived before. I don't know what's all going to happen, but I know those in power, those that have plans, the people we talk about that have an agenda, they're not going to lose power. And they're going to double down on their efforts to gain total control of us. And it doesn't mean they'll be successful, but it means we need to be aware of that so that we aren't ignorant. We can stand with courage. We can educate those around us and things like that. So being mentally prepared is so vital in life. When you're caught off guard, that's when you make poor decisions and do stupid things. Even in athletics, just like life, it's about 90% mental and about 10% physical. And so that's why I talk about some of these things that are on the horizon, because I know at some point they're going to arrive. And if you have been thinking about them for years and like, no, I know they're going to do this. When they do, I'm not getting involved in that. It'll help you be able to do what is right. And I just want to prepare you to have courage. And any time you find yourself getting really fearful, that's not good. The Bible tells us many times, fear not. So you need to get down on your knees if you're allowing the circumstances of the time that God has placed you in to make you afraid. You need to get on your knees and say, God, help me not to be fearful. I know you're in total control, because he is. Today, I'm going to talk about the takeover of modern medicine. And it really includes, you know, big pharma, big medicine, and big ag. Those are all tied in together in so many different ways. And they're very powerful vehicles for total control. But I'm going to explain to you some things that have happened over the last 100 years to make sure you understand it. So again, you'll be prepared as the new vaccines come out or the new solutions to the problems they've created come out, you'll be able to say, no, thank you. I'm taking care of myself. I'm working to do things naturally and healthy, and I'm not interested in the toxins that you're selling. But anyway, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you so much for joining me. Those on Rumble, please like and follow. Just take a second to do that. It makes a huge difference to us and the number of people that will watch these videos. Those that are not subscribers to Agenda Weekly, please consider going to agendaweekly.com. It's $5 a month, and it helps us be able to fund the things we're doing, and it allows you to have access to all the different things we provide each week. Those that are thinking about year-end donations, as many of you have emailed, that would be a great blessing to us if you'd like to do that. You can donate at agendaweekly.com, or you could raise your subscription amount from $5 to $7 or $10 or whatever you'd like to do. We appreciate your support tremendously. We are grateful for you. We pray for you, and we know that God's going to use the little things he's given us to do to impact many, and that is a great blessing. But thank you for joining me today. A couple news stories I'd like to get into before I cover the topic for the episode. This week, of course, was December 7th, and we were remembering December 7th, 1941. I have a video below that has far more details that you can watch so you understand reality. But as we now know, December 7th, 1941 wasn't a surprise attack. on Pearl Harbor. We knew about it. We'd already deciphered all their codes of the Japanese beforehand. And so when they gave the command, okay, head toward, the Hawaiian Islands and attack, we got the message, head toward the Hawaiian Islands and attack. So we know that now as a fact. FDR had also been putting sanctions on Japan, which made them have no other choice but to attack, and they knew that would happen. But the sobering reality is, when those planes were on their way to Pearl Harbor, our government and intelligence communities knew about that because they'd already deciphered the codes. So all those boys that died on Pearl Harbor were needless. And it's kind of like September 11th. Our government knows, oh, these things are happening. They've helped instigate these things. They allow them to happen, but then they use that to accomplish their purposes. Well, that's what happened back then, because FDR knew we needed to get into World War II if we are ever going to save the motherland. Hitler was going after the Soviet Union, and all the liberals in America loved the Soviet Union, and they knew they needed to do that. And it's interesting, when Japan attacked us, the first thing we did is go save the Soviet Union and buddy up with them. We didn't even mess with Japan for a while. So it's all smoke and mirrors, but it's important to know the truth of those events. And there's a great video below that goes into much more detail. Speaker Mike Johnson does appear to be a born-again Christian, which we're thankful for that. But here's the reality we have to face on this. He is in charge now. So anything that happens is his fault. The Speaker of the House has the ability and the power to put in the drawer anything he doesn't want to cover. So any bad legislation coming from the Senate, he can just put it in the drawer, and it's never even heard on the floor of the House. He has that power. So we can't listen to excuses if bad things keep happening, like some things have happened since he's gotten in there. It's like, no, you could have said, we're not voting on that. We're not doing any of this. We're not passing the Ukraine funding. We're not doing any of these things, period. It's put in the shelf and it's done. And so he's got about two strikes against him already. We need to pray that he has the courage, with that powerful position he's been given, to do what is right, to stop all radical leftist funding, legislation, and everything else. It's vital, and he does have the power to do that. So there's no more excuses of, oh, if we'd had one more vote or whatever. He might not be able to get good things done if he doesn't have the votes. That's not his fault. But if any bad things happen, it's 100% his fault for allowing them to even come to the floor for a vote. As we get into the topic of the takeover of modern medicine, and I use medicine in quotes because it's not about health anymore, it's not about helping you solve health issues, it's about covering and masking the symptoms you have that show something's wrong in your body. But anyway, listen to a little bit of this. By the turn of the 20th century, the Rockefellers controlled 90% of all petroleum refineries in America through ownership of the Standard Oil Corporation. What's amazing, as you look at the chart of Standard Oil, you see very quickly, oh my goodness, it controlled everything. And then it was broken up into, I think, 34 other companies. And they, of course, owned all those companies too. But everyone you've ever heard of, Standard, Chevron, Texaco, Mobil, Exxon, Amoco, BP, Marathon, all those came from the breakup of Standard Oil. During the same era, in the early 1900s, scientists were doing groundbreaking work to understand the basic mechanics of life and human health. It was during this time that most of the essential vitamins were discovered. Before that, we didn't even really know about vitamins. We just knew when you eat healthy food, you seem to do a lot better than when you don't. And so we understood food was a key to health. But as they started to find out vitamins and things, there were specific things in food. And as they identified these vitamins, science took a huge step forward and enabled simple vitamin remedies to cure conditions that were caused by vitamin deficiencies, like scurvy and rickets and things. Because people didn't have enough of a certain vitamin in their system, they were getting these different diseases. Of course, scientists were also involved in research to recreate synthetic versions of these vitamins in a laboratory. In 1935, vitamin C became the first vitamin to be artificially synthesized. Rockefeller was smart enough to see this as a big opportunity with the possibility that vitamins and medications could be developed from petroleum. He saw the chance to control and monopolize multiple industries at once, which he did: petroleum, chemicals, and the medical industry. And of course, petrochemicals were ideal from a business perspective because they could be patented, owned, and sold for high profits. One pill of remdesivir, which was the only solution for COVID, was $3,200 a pill. But there was a big problem with Rockefeller's plan. Natural and herbal medications were very popular in America during the early 1900s. Almost one half the medical colleges and doctors in America were practicing holistic medicine using extensive knowledge from Europe and Native American traditions. Rockefeller knew that to get control of the medical industry, he would have to expunge the competition. He's the one that famously said, competition is a sin. So we see in this area, once he realized petroleum can be used to make pharmaceutical medications, and he is the father of big pharma, and everyone acknowledges that, then he realized, okay, get rid of all these natural remedies because you can't patent those, and we're going to create synthetic remedies and be able to patent them so no one else can have them, and we're going to make a fortune. Watch this little clip from a documentary about that. It kind of really covers a lot of ground in a short amount of time, and then we'll talk about what was said.
Around the same time that John D. Rockefeller seized U.S. media, he also hijacked U.S. medicine. When it was discovered that drugs could be produced from petroleum, America's top oil mogul ordered his army of propagandists to invert reality accordingly. Medicines used for thousands of years were suddenly classified as alternative, while the new, petroleum-based, highly addictive, and patentable drugs were declared the gold standard. After buying the German pharmaceutical company that manufactured chemicals of war for Adolf Hitler, Rockefeller leveraged his political influence by pressing Congress to declare natural healing modalities unscientific quackery. Rockefeller then took control of the American Medical Association and began offering massive grants to top medical schools under the mandate that only his approved curriculum be taught. Any mention of the healing powers of herbs, plants, and diet was erased from most medical textbooks. Doctors and professors who objected to Rockefeller's plan were crucified by the media, removed from the AMA, and stripped of their license to teach and practice medicine. Those who dared to speak out were arrested and jailed. When evidence began to emerge that petroleum-based medicines were causing cancer, Mr. Rockefeller founded the American Cancer Society, through which he suppressed that information. John D. Rockefeller is duly credited as the founder of the pharmaceutical industry and the reason that medical error is currently the third leading cause of death in America. This is not an indictment against doctors. More than anyone, they are under the stranglehold of the single largest lobbying power in Washington. Every year, the pharmaceutical industry spends at least twice the amount as big oil to influence laws, policies, and public perception. Thanks to Mr. Rockefeller, the architect of American monopolies, no industry has more power over our lives than Big Pharma.
So the term alternative medicine and quackery was invented by the Rockefeller family. Well, we come to modern day. It's been hijacked. The medical schools have been hijacked, where they just preach what they are told, not what science says, not what history says. And so you come to Bill Gates and, you know, Dr. Health. Today, even though he has no background or expertise in that area, he is considered, the one that we take our guidelines from, the one that the World Health Organization listens to. Whatever he says, that's what we need to do. Well, he learned from the Rockefellers that to control big pharma is to make a fortune, and he knew that. Watch this clip, and you'll see who he really is as a person.
According to legend, Young Bill Gates built his computer empire out of his garage. Reality tells another story, that Bill Gates was born into wealth and privilege. Both his grandfather and great-grandfather were banking moguls. His father, William Gates Sr., was a prominent Seattle-based lawyer and political lobbyist. Through his father, Bill Gates learned the ins and outs of law and politics and how to manipulate those governing forces.
I'm Bill Gates, chairman of Microsoft.
Bill Gates dropped out of college to start Microsoft. He is credited with inventing the operating system that became Windows. However, he played no part in the invention of Windows. The fact is, he bought an existing operating system from Seattle Computer Products, had it modified, then licensed it to IBM. That didn't stop him from taking all the credit.
I don't see Bill Gates as this great creative person. I see him as an opportunist.
While Microsoft's co-founder Paul Allen was struggling with cancer, Bill Gates seized the opportunity by attempting to cheat him out of his share of the company's fortune.
They're basically talking about how they were planning to dilute my share down to almost nothing. And it was really a shocking and disheartening moment for me.
And you were sick?
Well, I think I was still probably in the middle of radiation therapy.
So Bill Gates isn't some genius, he's an opportunist. And he is clever enough to see ways to get control of things, ways to influence things, or if I give a donation to the World Health Organization, become their largest donor, they'll push whatever I say. And then I'll buy up all the companies that are the solution to the problem, and I'll make a fortune, which he has. And so that's really what it's about. But there's something deeper and darker behind him. As you dig in and study him, he really is a psychopath. I want you to watch this clip in a second and see before he started to put on a new public image, he was a weird, creepy person. And of course, his father's legacy is being the head of Planned Parenthood, which their goal was to eliminate all the minorities of the world. And so, but anyway, watch this clip and we'll talk about it, because we should be afraid of him and that he is some crazy that just knows how to come across now like Mr. Rogers with his sweater and stuff, but that's not who he is at heart.
Gates' business strategies came under fire in 1998 when the United States Department of Justice sued Microsoft for antitrust violations.
This is take three of the videotaped deposition of Bill Gates on September.
During the 18-month trial, Gates gave hours of videotaped testimony.
What were the non-Microsoft browsers that you were concerned about in January of 1996?
That month.
Yes, sir.
And what about it?
What non-Microsoft browsers were you concerned about in January of 1996?
I don't know what you mean, concerned.
What is it about the word concerned that you don't understand?
I'm not sure what you mean by it.
The Justice Department has charged Microsoft with engaging in anti-competitive and exclusionary practices designed to maintain its monopoly in personal computer operating systems.
In a move to overshadow the negative press, Gates invested $100 million to set up the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Overnight, Bill Gates transformed his public image from ruthless tech monopolizer to the world's most generous philanthropist.
I'm pleased to announce that we're pledging an additional $1 billion to
save. We have the chance to witness Bill Gates 2.0, the man you don't know.
The rebranding campaign paid off. His net worth swiftly doubled, earning Bill Gates the title of richest man in the world.
You've invested $10 billion in vaccinations over the last two decades, and you figured out the return on investment for that, and it kind of stunned me. Can you walk us through the math?
In a Wall Street essay, Bill Gates declared vaccines the best investment I've ever made.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return. So if you just look at the economic benefits, that's a pretty strong number compared to anything else.
The Gates Foundation expanded rapidly into a massive, vertically integrated, multinational corporation, controlling every step in a supply chain that reaches from its Seattle-based boardrooms to the villages of Africa and Asia.
William H. Gates III, and Melinda French Gates.
As a top donor to both the WHO and the CDC, no one man has more power than Bill Gates to influence and control the health and medical freedom of all people.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
It's clearly not about health, and I think that's the main point of this episode, is to sober your mind to that reality. Modern medicine, the doctors, the medical schools, the medicines, big ag, are not about health. They're about making as much money as possible. And if, by chance, they're able to make people a little bit sicker in the process of what they're doing, that's a blessing to them. It's not a curse. It's like, oh, sicker people we can make more money off of because they'll need more medications. That's the entire mindset. Yes, I know there's a good farmer here or a good doctor there or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the system. You can't trust the big food system to give you healthy food. You can't trust your doctors to give you the best advice to heal up whatever conditions you're dealing with. You can't trust Big Pharma to give you medications that don't have more side effects than benefits, because that's not the game they're in. That's not what they're trying to do.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
A 2018 scientific study released in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health concluded that over 490,000 children in India developed paralysis as a result of the Gates-supported oral polio vaccine that was administered between the years of 2000 and 2017. Using all the usual sleight of hand, U.S.-based media and fact-checkers rushed to bury the story. But thanks to the meticulous work of a team of Indian researchers and doctors, the inconvenient truth lives on the NIH.gov website.
It's my honor to introduce Bill and Melinda Gates.
Without any medical training, Bill and Melinda Gates founded the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, through which they fulfill their agenda to vaccinate the world. The foundation has been sued by the governments of some of the poorest and most vulnerable nations for causing serious harm through experimental vaccine programs.
If you just look at healthcare workers around the world, they deserve to get the vaccine first. You know, here in the United States, really, it's going to be Black people who really should get it first, and many Indigenous people.
They can't even hide their real agenda. It's the Black people that should get it first. His father, remember, was the head of Planned Parenthood, whose goal was to eliminate the human weeds, which are the Black people in America. That's why all their abortion clinics are in the Black neighborhoods, in the Mexican neighborhoods and things. I think that's all this is about, the entire vaccination programs worldwide. If you dig into it and study, it's unbelievable. It's been devastating everywhere they have gone to help the poor people. If they're minorities, it has not helped them. It's hurt them tremendously. It's sterilized them and done so many other things, like lying to them. Oh, this will stop you from getting cancer. And then they are paralyzed after the shot. It's really wicked. But Bill Gates, like John D. Rockefeller, knew you've got to get total control of medicine if you want to be the richest man in the world. And so Bill Gates has put himself as head of the World Health Organization by being the number one donor to it. So Tedros, and I always remind people of this when I talk about him, he literally was a member of the Communist Party, not just Marxist in his thinking. He was, in Ethiopia, a member of the Communist Party. But Tedros, who again has no medical experience, no background in medicine, the head of the World Health Organization, does what Bill Gates tells him to do. And the WHO pandemic treaty, which is something we've talked about and they're still trying to pass through. Here's something about it here. The problem with this treaty is that it simply cannot work. The whole premise behind this pandemic treaty is that shared threat requires shared response. But a given threat is almost never equally shared across regions. The WHO intends to eliminate individualized medicine and provide blanket rulings for how a given thing is to be addressed, and this can only result in needless suffering, not to mention the loss of individual freedom. Take COVID-19, for example. Worldwide, you were given the solution, have them stay at home until they're really having trouble breathing. And then when they come in, remdesivir is the only solution, and then putting them on a respirator, both of which those two things kill people. And that was the only solution. You can't even experiment with anything else. Not only is the risk of COVID not the same for people in New York City and the outback of Australia, it's not even the same for all the people in those areas, as COVID is highly dependent on age and underlying health conditions. It's also highly dependent on the person not taking things, pre-treatment items that work incredibly well, 99%+, vitamin D, zinc, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. It's total corruption withholding everything that might work to give you something that purposely does not work to make money, but to make the problem worse. See, if that wouldn't have been the solution, remdesivir and respirators, there would have been hardly any loss of life. And then the fear disappears, so the power disappears in control, and their ability to dictate a WHO treaty or something is gone. Because we're like, oh, we got through that. It was a normal flu season, which it was. There's no more than 30 or 40,000 people in America that actually died of COVID. Of the million people that died, most of them, 90%+ of them, were killed by the medical establishment by withholding what would help and giving them things they know would end in death. One of the key people involved back with the Rockefellers was a man named Flexner. And the Rockefellers used him and a report he wrote to take total control of medicine. You need to know a little bit about this. And this is from Wikipedia. Flexner clearly doubted the science validity of all forms of medicine other than that based on scientific research, deeming any approach to medicine that did not advocate the use of treatments such as vaccines to prevent and cure illnesses as tantamount to quackery and charlatanism. So anything except vaccines and things, that's just quackery. Medical schools that offered training in various disciplines, including electromagnetic field therapy, phototherapy, eclectic medicine, naturopathy, and homeopathy, were told either to drop these courses from their curriculum or lose their accreditation. Eventually, most complied with the report or shut their doors. And then this caused all people going into medicine to clearly realize, oh, I don't want to be labeled a quack, so I better just do what I'm told. And then the Rockefeller family took over and started Big Pharma to control what was going on. Dr. Joseph Mercola had an article on this that really gave a great summary. John D. Rockefeller was instrumental in reshaping American medicine to scientific medicine, which sidelined holistic medicine. This started in 1910 with the Flexner Report I just mentioned. Before that time, naturopathic medicine using herbs, homeopathic remedies, and general nutrition from food were very popular. The Flexner Report, commissioned by Rockefeller and the Carnegie Foundation, led to a complete and radical overhaul of the medical system. It criminalized natural therapies and forced about half of all medical schools to shut down. Natural medicine practitioners were put out of business and replaced with scientific doctors trained in the use of petrochemical-derived drugs. This was the genesis of Fauci's motto, "Trust the science." To this day, the Rockefeller family owns about 50% of all drug companies, and the Rockefeller Foundation has played a central role in global cabal's effort to impose worldwide totalitarianism. Understanding how medicine was corrupted can help us understand current day events better. In many ways, it's a repeat of the basic process. Identify a problem or shortcomings, whether true or fabricated, pronounce a solution, then tear down the old system and replace it with a new one. In July of 2020, the Rockefeller Foundation published Reset the Table, Meeting the Movement to Transform the U.S. Food System. Now they're going after the food to get total control of it. According to the foundation, the pandemic revealed problems in the food system that need to be reset, much in the same way that the Flexner Report found problems in the medical system that needed to be fixed by changing it from the ground up. Seeing how the foundation promotes synthetic foods as an equitable answer, the end results on public health are bound to be the same. They first destroyed the medical industry, and now they're going to completely destroy the food system. It's already been going in the wrong direction for 50 years, but now they want to get big control of it. And like I said at the beginning, big pharma, big medicine, and big ag, they're all intertwined because they're all complementary of each other, accomplishing the same goals. Right now, we're being told that the food system is not working, and we hear that all the time. Climate change is destroying food production, and to survive, we need to get used to eating insects and drinking reclaimed sewage. Gates is calling on the Western world to abandon real meat and transition to lab-grown meat, which, of course, he is invested in. The Netherlands and Canada are now imposing nitrogen restrictions that will result in farmers being put out of business, and the food distribution centers are mysteriously burning down around the world. It is amazing what's happening. All the signs for a manufactured food crisis are here. And he says, I was a Boy Scout as a youth, and their motto, be prepared, has served me well. And certainly, if there ever was a time to get prepared, it's now. They're dismantling the food system in order to replace it with patented foods, the same way the Rockefellers replaced natural herbs and nutrition with patentable synthetic chemicals a century ago. It really is sobering, but there's things we can do about it, and I'll get into some of that in just a minute. One key thing I forgot to comment on after the first clip I played was the reality of the Rockefellers started the American Cancer Society. Did you see that in the clip? That's unbelievable. So once they realized the petrochemical medications were causing cancer, we're going to start the American Cancer Society. It looks like, no, we're trying to help fight cancer. We're not creating cancer. It's just, it's unbelievable. And so it lets you know one thing for sure. That's not about stopping cancer. They would never want to find a solution for cancer. They make a fortune off of it. I think the average chemotherapy treatment scheme and whatever for cancer patients today is about $3 million with all the different things going on. You don't want to find a solution for that. Trust me, once God is taken out of society and the Judeo-Christian foundations of morality and the fear of God stuff, it's about money. And you want as many people to get cancer as possible. And that's escalating right now because of the shots that are breaking down the immune system, so cancers are going nuts. They love it. That is all purposeful. It really is just a vicious cycle here. You get control of the medical school, so they'll push your propaganda of your medicines are the only solution to the problem. And then you push those on the people, which cause more sickness. And then you take over big ag so that you have unhealthy food being fed to the people. And when people eat unhealthy food, it makes them unhealthy people. And so they need more medications to solve all the problems. And they need more surgeries and radiation and treatments and things. And so you're just scratching your own back with each thing you're involved in. It's just a vicious cycle of evil people controlling and abusing the population. But it's deeper than that. I think it's not just to make money, which is one of the fundamental goals, but it's cutting population.
His parents also encouraged discussion about the family's charity work and the causes they held close to their heart. As Gates revealed to Bill Moyers in 2003, those causes included the population issue, which sparked a lifelong interest in reproductive health.
One issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood, and it was very controversial to be involved with that.
Gates tips his hand when he equates issues related to population with reproductive health. The topic is particularly controversial because population control and reproductive health have been used for half a century as a euphemism for eugenics, the discredited pseudoscience that holds that certain families are fit to be leaders of society by virtue of their superior genes. As we saw in Why Big Oil Conquered the World, eugenics was a field named and codified by Francis Galton, cousin of Charles Darwin. Ostensibly concerned with heredity and what would later be known as genetics, the eugenicists believed that the rich and powerful were rich and powerful not because of luck or chance or happenstance, and certainly not from the deployment of cutthroat business tactics and underhanded dealings. No, the rich and powerful had attained their status because they came from better stock. Conversely, the poor were poor because of their defective germplasm. As transparent as it seems to us today that this ideology was a self-serving self-justification for the ruling class, it was quickly taken up as the great social crusade of the early 20th century. From Teddy Roosevelt to H.G. Wells to Julian Huxley to Winston Churchill, there was widespread support for the eugenicist notion that society must strive to make sure that the rich and well-born breed as much as possible, and the poor, infirm, and feeble-minded be prevented from having children. A common eugenicist argument was that the scarce resources of society should not be used to support the lower classes, as that only encouraged more of their kind. Instead, life-saving medical care and intervention should be rationed so that those resources can be best put to use elsewhere. So-called negative eugenicists even took things further, with some, like famed playwright George Bernard Shaw, calling for people to be called before a state-appointed board to justify their existence or be put to death.
But there are an extraordinary number of people whom I want to kill. Not in any unkind or personal spirit, but it must be evident to all of you, you must all know half a dozen people at least, who are no use in this world, who are more trouble than they are worth. And I think it would be a good thing to make everybody come before a properly appointed board, just as he might come before the income tax commissioners, and say every 5 years or every 7 years, just put him there and say, sir or madam, now will you be kind enough to justify your existence?
Satan wants to kill every human on the planet, and these people that have gotten their wealth and fame from him are marching to his drumbeat without even knowing it. But fertility rates in America have dropped over 50% in the last 30 years. And it continues to drop a percent or two each year. It's from all the toxic foods and medicines and shampoos and fragrances, all the synthetic chemicals in our life have caused so many things in people's lives that are negative. But one of the key things is it's dropped the fertility rate. And so that, I think, is the bottom line of this whole thing. I think the Rockefellers knew there were way too many people on the planet to control, and Bill Gates was raised by a father that hated black people, hated minorities. He was the head of Planned Parenthood, whose goal back then, they clearly stated, was to eliminate the human weeds. And they defined the human weeds as all the minorities of the world. And that's what I think this thing is really about. Why do they want big pharma, big medicine, and big ag? So they can poison the peoples of the world and specifically mete out to the people they don't like extra vaccines or extra toxic foods or whatever. George Bernard Shaw, who was talking there at the end, he was one of the founders and head of the Fabian Socialist Society for over 50 years. And the Fabians are one of the groups I talk about in Agenda Grinding America Down. But it's deep and it's dark, but the communists are working to cut world population because it's a lot easier to control a smaller population. They know what they're doing, but Satan is encouraging them to do this on a massive scale, and they're doing that. And we're seeing how successful they are at doing that. So we need to, again, take back control of our life, and that's what I want to get into right now. My son was burned really bad a few years ago. I mean, a really bad burn on his face, all over his stomach and side, and on his legs some. And so the natural reaction is we rushed him to the hospital, which was over 2 hours away. That was the one that had a good burn unit. And it was up in Birmingham. And right when they came in, my wife, who is his mother, they said, "You cannot come in here." And she said, "What are you talking about? My son is barely coherent. I'm going to be with him." "No, he's over 18. You cannot come in the hospital." And they forced her out with police escort. And then they took him in there. And he waited over 4 hours in the emergency room. And they still hadn't done anything. And my wife started to realize, uh-oh, this isn't good. She was thankfully able to call him on his cell phone he still had on him and said, "Get out of there now." And he forced his way out and said, "No, I don't want your treatments." And he just got out of there. And so then she brought him home. You're like, what do you do for something major like that? We're told you can't do anything. You need the experts. Well, she called all the moms that she knows that are into natural remedies. And many of them had dealt with severe burns before. And she got these plantain leaves off these plants and had different women help her. And she bandaged him up with all these ointments that she made from different things. They said these are really helpful to heal things up. And 3 times a day, she would change the bandages. And she did that for 3 or 4 weeks. And when the bandages finally came off, he has no scars on his face, on his chest. And these were third-degree burns. I mean, the skin was just coming off. It was gross. And he doesn't even have any scars. It's unbelievable. And I thought, oh my goodness, we can do it. There are solutions to even major problems like that. There are natural remedies for almost everything. We also learned you got to have a power of attorney for every member of your family, including yourself. So right when someone has to go in the hospital, if they're in a car wreck or something where you don't really have a choice, you tell the doctors, "I have the power of attorney for my son." And that means they can't do anything to them without asking you first. If you don't have that, especially if they're 18 or over, they will decide what to do. But if you have that power of attorney where I'm the one responsible for making the decisions, they have to let you in the circle, or you'll be able to sue them into the ground. In the name of health, they'll do anything. So this World Health Organization treaty, need to keep an eye on that. But tyrants want to cut the population, so we have to be so careful. But I want to encourage you to stop eating toxic processed food. Work to get off all the meds that you're on if possible. Focus on living a disciplined life with self-control, courage, and a love for God, leading you to take back your health, stand against evil, and love your neighbor by speaking and living the truth. It's shocking, but almost 50% of Americans now are considered obese and on multiple medications from Big Pharma. We need to stop that. I want to encourage you to do something. The new year's coming up real soon, and I'll talk about it again, but I want you to do something that my brother and I did when we were young. We called it 100 Days of Excellence. Whenever we wanted to get in top shape and maybe we hadn't been working out like we normally did, we'd say, okay, 100 Days to Excellence. And we'd get a plan. And for 100 days, we'd faithfully do different things. And it was unbelievable the difference at the end of 100 days. Even when you were already young and healthy, it was amazing. But I want to encourage you to have 100 Days to Excellence. Your diet. Get off the junk. Eat healthy, lots of fruits and vegetables. I think a veggie smoothie, maybe once a day for one of the meals, is vital. I've started to do this, and it's amazing how filling it is. I thought, oh, I'm going to be starving. But, you know, putting cucumbers and tomatoes and bananas and apples and carrots and lettuce and things into a blender and grind it all up, liquefy it, And it's amazing how sweet it can be too. And you can add some juice to it if you need to or whatever. Where you're getting so many vegetables and things down into your system, I'm always shocked how filling it is. But we need to be doing that. We need to go to the local farmer's market to get our food. We need to be exercising. When you're serious about exercising, it motivates you to eat right because you start to see, oh, my muscles are getting stronger and stuff. So it kind of motivates you to want to keep going. I watched I believe it was a 60 Minutes many years ago, and they did this study on 80-year-olds and over in these old folks' homes, and they put them on a weightlifting regimen. It was just the little 5-pound weights, but they were doing, you know, different exercises and things with those every day. And hearing the interviews with those people was unbelievable. They said, I feel 10 years younger after doing it just for a couple months. And then I feel so good. And I had an aunt like that. She just died a year ago at 102, but she swam every day for 30 minutes for the last 50 years of her life. And she walked and she did things to take care of herself. And what happens when you're doing things to use those muscles as you get older, it keeps them elasticy. Where they don't harden up so much where you're so stiff you can't even move. That's what usually causes someone to fall then and break their hip and then they're gone. I've seen that over and over again. But you want a strong, healthy heart, walking a mile a day and then 2 miles a day and then 3 miles a day, whatever you can do for your age. But I encourage you, on top of the diet, eating healthy, planning out a menu. Don't be, you know, snacking all day long. On top of that, then you exercise every day, maybe 30, 45 minutes, depending on what you can do. If you have access to a pool, maybe start by swimming. And then sleep. We need 8 or 9 hours of solid sleep a night. Most people don't get it. And I think one of the key ways to do that is cut technology, cut the EMF rays in your home by unplugging Wi-Fi if you have it and all that stuff before you go to bed. And don't watch things or do things on your phone a few hours before you go to bed so your mind is clear and it's not so overstimulated where it's just hard to even, you know, rest at all. You've got so many things on your mind, it's hard to even rest. Good sleep is essential to a healthy, productive life. When you're rested, your immune system's ready to go, you're ready to get up and go exercise and eat right, and all those things just are a wonderful, blessed cycle, unlike their vicious cycle of destruction. They're a wonderful cycle of regeneration, health, happiness. You just feel so much better. I know whenever I stop working out, sometimes I've been so busy and I start to feel sick and I'm tired all the time. And I realize I can't afford not to work out. If I'm going to live a busy life and do things, I need a good night's sleep. I need to eat good food and I need to take care of myself. But don't be fearful. Don't take any of this as being fearful. They want us to be terrorized so that we'll submit to whatever they say to do. I need you to prepare mentally, physically, and spiritually, because that's the war that we're in. That's the battle. I need you to be healthy because you have learned to be wise over your life. You have learned to understand how the world really works, and you need to be around as long as possible to be able to share that with others, influence and educate. And God has much for you to still do. I guarantee that, or you wouldn't be here. We need courage and strength. And our verse for this week is John 16:13. Listen to this. It's perfect. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Jesus told us, okay, I'm telling you everything I'm telling you in the Bible, so you'll be peaceful knowing, oh, God's in total control. He's not going to allow me to endure anything that he doesn't want me to for a purposeful reason. And then it goes on, the last part of it is this, I love this part of the verse. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to be persecuted. He's telling us that. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't forget that. But we need to engage this battle, and the best way to do it is to be rested and ready and healthy and strong and excited about each day, to get up and take care of yourself so you're ready to serve the Lord. You feel good, and I just really, really want to encourage you in that. I'm going to end this episode with a little clip from Plandemic at the very end. It was a motivational clip, and I hope it's motivating to you. But you could do it. I appreciate you greatly. And until next week, God bless you.
Fear shuts down the part of our brain designed to solve problems. Without that ability, we look for others to guide and save us. In doing so, we lose touch with our most primal nature. We forget that we are an extension of the most brilliant and resilient ecosystem in the universe. We stop eating food grown from the earth and begin consuming products processed from machines. We trade medicines that heal for drugs that harm. We abandon love and liberty for debt and dependency. The good news is, our story is not over. The climax has yet to come. That moment when the hero rises from defeat, summoning a force they forgot they had. A force within. A force of nature.
You people are the real thing.
This nation will rise up.
A new generation of Americans.
It's time to think about the future generation.